Part of the legacy of how little we really understand about the brain and how ignorant we have been about the brain for most of human history has been that the mentally ill for centuries were phantoms from the Middle Ages almost, ancient ghosts of dysfunction and menace who needed to be walled off from society, institutionalized. The 20th century, though, changed this, and 50 years ago, President John F. Kennedy, a man with mental illness in his own family, took a grand, bold step.
Almost every American family at some stage will experience or has experienced a case of mental affliction, and we have to offer something more than crowded custodial care in our state institutions. Our task is to prevent these conditions. Our next is to treat them more effectively and sympathetically in the patient's own community.
There's the president in March of 1963, John F. Kennedy, speaking a sense of national mission to change mental health. It became the Community Mental Health Act, the last piece of legislation the president ever signed. The mentally ill to remain with their families, to be included in our communities whenever possible. This was the radical idea 50 years ago. Joining us now is Dr. Paul Applebaum, a practicing psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry, medicine, and law at Columbia University. Dr. Applebaum, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back, John.
Remind us how radical this idea was really in the course of all of human history and the way that the mentally ill have been treated.
Well, ever since we began to pay attention to mental illness and to try to help those people who were afflicted by it, the focus until 1963 had been on providing care in large institutions, in the big state hospitals that were constructed around our country in the 19th and 20th century. And by the mid-1950s, those hospitals had grown to include over 500,000 of our citizens on any given day and to account for the largest part of the budget of many American states, much the way Medicaid does today. So to talk about moving that treatment into the community, which is what President Kennedy was describing, was in fact a radical idea.
So part of it was the capacity, the overcapacity, the sense of this is just not sustainable that was driving things. But there were also real cultural changes that took place in the 20th century that really made this seem like a plausible idea when it would have been forbidden generations before. What were those?
Well, I think that's right. There was a greater sense, particularly in the Kennedy administration with their own experience, personal experience with mental disorders, that mental disorders could afflict ordinary people, that people with a mental illness were not different than you or I. They just had a problem that needed to be addressed. And that the best way to do that was the same way other kinds of health problems were addressed. Namely, in the community with hospitalization used as a last resort. And when it occurred, people hospitalized close to home in their communities with the expectation that they would return to their families, jobs, and friends.
There were lessons from World War II here because mental illness was part of the backstory of the consequences of World War II.
Yeah, it's a very interesting part of the backstory. In World War I, mental casualties of the battle, the so-called shell-shock troops, what we would now call PTSD, were shipped home by boat and sent to large hospitals where many of them became chronic patients. There was a very high rate of morbidity in World War I. In World War II, the Army Medical Corps, led by some pioneering psychiatrists, decided to do things very differently. They built small acute triage facilities right behind the front lines with the expectation that people who were suffering from the mental consequences of being in combat would be treated for a short period of time close to their friends in a place where their buddies could visit them and with the expectation that they would return very shortly to their units. And that turned out to be a highly successful experiment. And you can see the analogy with community mental health care beginning to develop in the minds of those leaders.
Well, all of those experiments became the template for the Community Mental Health Act 50 years later. What's the legacy here? And it certainly created some problems and solved some enormous problems at the same time.
Yeah, the legacy is a mixed one, not because the idea was not a good idea. It was, in fact, a cutting edge idea for its time, but because it was never fully funded. The plan was to create a network of community mental health centers, more than 1,500 covering the nation, so that any person wherever they lived would have a single point of access to the mental health system. They would know where they could turn. Fewer than half those centers were ever constructed and organized, and the federal government never provided ongoing support. That responsibility was turned over to the states, and as you got into the 1970s and then into the 80s and the Reagan Revolution, the federal government cut back support even further. The states were reluctant to assume that support. And what had been envisioned as a nationwide system became a patchwork of individual facilities that were trying to survive any way they could.
And that's a legacy that we can see in the approach or the reluctance to fund drug treatment, the reluctance to fund preventive mental health treatment, even the reluctance to take precautionary measures in the military when we send people off to war, yes?
Yes, I think that's right. And all of those preventive, educative interventions were part of what was envisioned as part of the Community Mental Health Act and unfortunately never fully implemented.
I know you love this aspect of our show, Dr. Applebaum, but if you were running the world, I get to ask you that, and you get to think about it here for our audience, what would you do to continue or maybe fulfill the legacy of the Community Mental Health Act 50 years after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy?
I would say that 50 years is not too soon to rethink what our mental health system should look like for the 21st century. And just as the Community Mental Health Act was the product of a national commission appointed during the Eisenhower administration that came up with a blueprint that was reflected ultimately in the legislation, we need another rethink today. So if I ruled the world, I would set up a national commission charged with coming up with a vision for the 21st century.
And at the very least, one of the advantages of doing that today is there is a sense of much greater openness about mental health in this century than there was in most of the 20th century. Dr. Applebaum, thanks so much.
My pleasure, John.
Dr. Paul Applebaum is a practicing psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry, medicine, and law at Columbia University.